having landlord problems, and I don't mind telling the whole world about it here at WT80 Radio. Our landlord is delightful, just not very good at fixing things. So I'm kind of irritated right now, but I'm not going to let that spoil my congenial disposition. But if you're listening out there, landlord of the Lincoln Douglas, get your act together immediately or we're going to have a problem. The other day they came in, they said, you can't park your car there. I said, I'm going to park my car. Anyway, welcome, folks. This tirade, not sponsored by anyone but me. But we're going to talk today about Great River Eagle Days, and we are going to have the lovely Holly join us. I don't know how long it takes to open a door, but apparently there's been a horrible problem. Apparently nobody understands where the doors are to the... Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, we've got Leslie Haslam here. Good morning, Leslie. Good morning. Get that microphone right up to your mouth and... we'll have a good time here, and Holly Kane will be joining us from the Quincy Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. But let's talk a little bit about Winter Gathering. This is going to take place January 22nd and 23rd. It's a Saturday and Sunday. It is not this weekend. It is the next weekend, so we're giving you plenty of time to mark down your calendars and get everything going. Admission is just $5 if you're 10 and up, $3 admission for over 60, and if you're under 10 years old, you get in free. Have a seat right there, Holly. Glad to see you. Scouts in uniform get in free. That sounds like a great thing. Okay, so now we've got all the players assembled, and life is good. And let's talk a little bit, Leslie, first of all, Great River Eagle Days. This is more than just a chance to view bald eagles in the wild at Quincy's Lock and Dam. This comes into the Oakley Lindsay Center and becomes a cultural event. And it's very much a part of the Native American culture, which you profess, to kind of respect and even honor the bald eagle. So tell us about Great River Eagle Days and what kind of things we'll see.
Well, this year we're planning to rock Quincy and blow the roof off the Oakley Lindsay Center. We have over 30 drums that are coming. They will play one time all together. We have confirmed probably 500 dancers in full-blown regalia.
500 dancers?
Yes, from the Lakota Nation.
500 from the Lakota Nation.
Most of them are from the Lakota Nation. And we will have eagle dancers on Sunday morning about 9 o'clock. We're going to start a little early. 80 to 90 eagle dancers will be performing before the Blessing of the Eagles, which will happen about 10 o'clock, I believe. We've got Birds of Prey coming. We did confirm we have an eagle finally coming. They will be on display, and people will get to see them up close. We have the White Buffalo Calf Woman's Pipe that will be part of the Eagle Blessing. The pipe has not left the reservation since the 1830s. It is a great honor that this is coming here this year.
Wow. And okay, what kind of escort does this have to have? Because this is, not just a relic of the past, but this is part of the religious ceremonial life of the Native American.
That's right. That's right.
So they'll there will be a, it'll be well guarded in procession.
Oh, yes.
And oh my gosh.
Yes. This is a huge honor to have this. It's a huge honor to have chiefs, elders, medicine men from the Lakota will be many of our honored guests. We have special guests coming. We are the talk on the set of the TV series 1883. We are the talk backstage at the Grand Ole Opry and in Nashville. We got a call from Capitol Records assistant to the president to confirm this event. And we may have a lot of very well-known surprise guests.
So people that are cast members from Yellowstone in 1883, the precursor to Yellowstone,
might be there.
Might be here.
Yes.
Might be here, might not be here, but that's okay. We're prepared for them. Wouldn't that be wonderful if Faith Hill and her husband, they are coming? Wouldn't that be great? can't say it, can't confirm it, rumors abound. What's her husband's name? I forgot.
Tim McGraw.
Gosh, isn't that funny? Tim McGraw and Faith Hill are stars of that show, and they have, you know, always cared about the Native American culture. And, of course, right now they're fighting the Indians on their show. Maybe they'll, after they come to Quincy, maybe there'll be a change in the script. We'll all just get along. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, change American history.
It's going to be totally wild. We have, we got Candy Dance for the Kids on both days. We've got several Native educators this year. Some are different. I have over 26 vendors. Many of them are from Lakota Nations. There's going to be furs, buffalo hides up for sale, full buffalo. It might take a couple people to carry it out.
I was going to say, and if people wonder, well, where do they get buffalo hides? Well, buffaloes are not really endangered anymore. They are roaming freely on Yellowstone, and they're roaming freely like at Custer State Park. We got to see a huge herd.
Yeah,
we saw about 900 of the 1,300 that are at Custer State Park. My husband and I did this last fall.
Yeah.
And, of course, every year they're rounded up.
Mm-hmm.
They're vaccinated. They're veterinary checked.
Yep.
The herd is culled, and there are buffalo hunts to take the animals that are ready to be, you know, harvested. And that's where these buffalo hides come from then.
Wow. Some of them. They have their own
herd
on their
reservation as well.
So,
right, yeah.
Because
cool.
That's one of their main staples and, you know, prize things.
Yeah, and
up.
I know that the Native Americans are involved in this roundup because that's kind of part of the Custer State Park. It's like, well, yes, you know, we're going to allow you to continue this tradition. So,
sounds great. Definitely.
Okay.
We've got silent auction that'll be happening, door prizes. We are extending Saturday night until 8 p.m.
Okay.
There's so much going on.
So we really have to change our flyer here, and I'm going to change it as you speak. So on Saturday, will the grand entry still be at 12:30 or is that earlier? Okay.
Yes.
The grand entry with hundreds, possibly, of dancers in their full regalia will be there, most of them from the Lakota Nation, at 12:30, the grand entry. You will have a live, captive bald eagle there, okay? And these bald eagles are ones that have been rescued. They can no longer fly.
He's missing one wing, and so...
Yeah, there's problems with them, so they're used for educational purposes. And then throughout the day, the dancers will amass at 3 o'clock again in the afternoon. And then this is going on into the evening. About what time do you think it's going to wrap up there?
We have no idea, but we have to be out by 8.
Okay. Oh, 7.
We have a lot of very special dances that will be taking place in the evening. And if you don't want to have yourself scared to death, you might not want to come to one of them.
Well, now, what does that mean?
That means
speak in riddles.
They are going to be doing the real war dance, and they will actually be jumping over the outside of the circle, and they scream, they holler. It's very loud. And then we get to do the peace dance, which will bring them down.
Okay.
But it's going to be pretty wild.
Well,
I have no idea what we're getting
be taken
into
from
here.
The audience? Please tell me the captives will not be taken, I hope.
Well,
not.
I don't think they're... going to be doing that, but they're going to kind of scare us.
Yeah, the whole point of the dance in the old days was to get their adrenaline going and to get their adrenaline flowing and to get pumped up to fight the enemy, whether that be a fellow Native American tribe or the dreaded white man who was invading their area, as we have seen so much now on Yellowstone in 1883.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all going to go on all day. There'll be stuff for the kids all day. There'll be food all day.
Yep.
Something to go on. So if you come down to the Oakley-Lindsay Center, you know, you can kind of come in. Would you suggest people bring their own lawn chair, or will there be enough chairs there?
We're hoping we have enough chairs. We're taking out everything we possibly can to put it out there. It's going to be a huge circle. It's in the middle of the room, and it's gigantic. It's going to be 110 feet across. So
but if you've got maybe a portable chair that you want to take, because you might want to sit in a corner one time and just take a break and eat your food or whatever, just take a break. But
We'll have the table set up.
We'll have the table set up as well.
That'll be,
so this is Saturday, and it goes from 10 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. That's extended hours.
8 o'clock.
Well, okay, you said you had to be out by 8.
Well, you know what I mean.
Okay. By 7 o'clock, we have to start heading towards the exit door. And then Sunday, you're starting a little bit early. You said 10 o'clock, you're going to start, what, about 9:30?
We're probably going to start about 9-ish with the Eagle Dancers and go from there and then into the Eagle Blessing and then a whole bunch
9
of
o'clock,
things.
Eagle Blessing at 10,
yeah.
Grand Entry Parade at 12:30 again, mm-hmm. and again the entertainment. How do you say that native word?
The Amiyakan dancers?
Amiyakan.
Mm-hmm.
Amiyakan. Okay, I've said it a couple times.
Those are our Aztec folks.
Those are the Aztecs. Okay.
Yeah.
Amiyakans.
Okay. Costumes are amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Just wild. Yes.
Very, very cool.
They come in.
And you've heard the voice of Holly Kane. And Holly, this event grows and grows each year.
It has.
And so does the economic impact. Can you get a hotel room in Quincy next weekend?
You can. Don't try the Microtel. I know we have the atrium has rooms now for the next block, so we would encourage that right across the street from the convention center. But yes, we've also got the shootout in town this weekend. That's next weekend we're referring to. So busy weekend in Quincy, and get your rooms now.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And if you live in the area and you can drive back and forth, make sure you mark your calendars for this event. The other thing that happens, of course, there is an admission to get into the Oakley Lindsay Center, and certainly it's well worth the price of admission, literally, to see all of this. As many as 500 different dancers are coming to do different kinds of dance techniques. But the Bald Eagle still is the primary source of viewing, and that's absolutely free of charge. All you have to do is go down to the Lock and Dam, and there'll be people down there guiding people into what to look for. You don't have to look too hard to find an eagle this time of year, do you, Holly?
They're all over.
Quite a bit.
Now, how has this milder weather, has this caused them? Because we really haven't had the river freeze up yet, have we? So they haven't had to, you know, they've been able to fish pretty much. They don't need the dam right now. They can fish anywhere, right?
Yes, and I've seen them on the north edge of town, and so no, they're all over the dam area.
Yeah, well,
and
they're out in the fields too, scavenging and so forth. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
So keep your eye out for eagles. Great River Eagle Days Winter Gathering 2022, and again, this is kind of a symbiotic relationship. The Corps of Engineers has the natural, you know, habitat of the eagle that they kind of oversee. Leslie Haslam's group, Standing Bear Council, is a group of people that get together to recognize American Indian heritage and to keep American Indian culture alive. And the thing about that is, that's like saying we're keeping human culture alive, because if we had a festival in Quincy, we would see Germans, we would see Irish people, we would see Italians, we would see Mexicans, we would see people from the Asian countries.
Yes.
So you're going to see Aztec natives. You're going to see Lakota Sioux natives. You're going to see people that are from the Plains tribes. You're going to see people that may be from Northeastern tribes who don't live in New England anymore but live out here. And while they're Native American, they're a different kind of Native American.
Yeah.
What kind of Native American are you, Leslie?
I'm half Cherokee.
Okay.
We do have a lot of Cherokee coming in from Tennessee and the East Coast. Our drummers are the Great Cloud Singers, and they are the best drummers on the East Coast, and they are coming to be our drummers.
How important is it for Native American groups to get together to celebrate internally amongst themselves their own heritage, and then to showcase this to outsiders, people like me with no Native blood?
Well, it's very important. There's celebrations going on all over, ceremonies, and you know, each tribe has their own things. We do solstices, and like I said, our event, we are going to be showcasing a few things, that one of which, it's called something else, but I can't say it.
Okay.
It'll be performed.
Okay.
And
so some of these things are literally like have a religious aspect to it, and so when we go to see this, we must be respectful, because it would be almost as if you walked into the back of a church while a church service was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for example, somebody who's never been to an African American church, you know, would be maybe surprised at how people shout out and, you know, maybe dance in the aisles at some at some things. You know, that would be shocking to them. That's something they haven't seen. If you go to a Catholic monastery and nobody speaks, you know, and it's a vow of silence, that would be shocking, too. So view everything with respect and view everything with the authenticity to which the people are trying to as much as possible recreate and keep alive this age-old tradition.
And we want to be open to the public for our teachings and so forth and for people to understand our culture, but we also ask the respect of the etiquette for around the circle. So it'll be posted so people can read what they need to be doing in that. And we do ask that people don't take photos during special ceremonies. And not to be touching anyone's regalia. You must ask anything of them. If you wish to take their photo, please ask them first. Regalia is very sacred to each person, so don't touch it. You may point and ask questions, and they will answer you, no problem.
And don't refer to it as a costume. As I did the first year I was a reporter and went down to cover this, I said, tell me about your costume. He was very polite. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm not wearing a costume.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my regalia.
Yes.
And he said, it's very sacred to me. It's my church clothes.
Yep.
It's not a costume. It's not a Halloween costume I'm putting on to play to be an Indian.
Yeah, exactly.
My regalia. This is my sacred stuff. So.
Yeah. And most everything is very well handmade, and it is going to be just spectacular to see.
And a lot of it has modern touches, too, because Native Americans aren't just people who lived here 200 years ago. They're people that still live here today. One quick final question, and then I'll let Holly sign off. But how have shows like Yellowstone, which definitely shows a modern American Indian presence fighting to, you know, have that piece of Yellowstone back or try to maintain whatever they can.
Right.
How does that speak to your heart as a Native American? Are they getting it right? Is it just another cowboy and Indian show that isn't based much in fact, but it's nice to look at Kevin Costner?
It's pretty much on the facts because we are getting a lot of our lands back. It is in the news quite often. We have someone who's Native American in Congress, I believe, now. I forget her name. I'm just so blanking.
There have been several, but there's a new one, and she happens to be a lady.
Yes.
I know when I was out at Crazy Horse and at Mount Rushmore, there were talks that they've been offered a settlement, but they say it's no, we don't want the money, we want the land. And until you give us the land, we're not willing to take a monetary settlement because, again, you know, once you don't have the land is forever. The money is not. And once you're given the money, it'll be like, okay, now you've got the money, get out.
Yeah,
and they don't want to get out.
It's their birthplace. It is their sacred home that began. And, you know, to hand them money for, you know, taking it away just doesn't cut it at all.
It's also interesting, too, because we have now cycled into a total desegregation of the Native American and the traditional European culture. Mm-hmm. So you see on Yellowstone that a white, an Anglo, married a Native American, and they live sometimes in the Anglo world and sometimes on the reservation world.
Right.
She teaches at a college. So she's immersed in both sides of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it shows the full focus of people. You know, people, Native American women in 2022 are not walking around grinding corn.
No.
You know, they're doing modern things. Their lives have progressed, too. However, they still want their land, and they still want some of the things so they can teach their children. It's like, I don't want to personally, you know, can things, but I'm glad my husband knows how. And if we had children, I would want that, you know, making ketchup every year is something our family does.
Mm-hmm.
His family does. Yeah. Now my family does. You know, I don't particularly, but I'm glad that they still keep that alive. You know, we can go get a bottle of Heinz at the store. We don't need to.
There's a lot of things we're lacking these days that, you know, we're losing, perspective of where we've come from. And even in the Native community, there's so many falsehoods about what's taken place. Like you've seen with the Native schools what happened.
Yeah.
And we are out teaching this, and people are just quite amazed to be hearing the real stories of what has taken place.
You mean like these nice Catholic priests that paddled down the river and said, as long as you convert to Catholicism, you're fine. If not, well, we're going to take your head.
Yeah, pretty much. We take
and people
anyway.
Always wondered, why were the Indians so quick to recognize the Catholic faith? And, of course, I was taught when I was a child, because it's the one true faith, and God spoke to them. And then as I got older, I realized, yeah, God spoke to them saying, if you want to keep alive, I want to say, okay, I'll believe.
Well, they didn't get too many choices at all.
Yeah, they didn't get too many choices at all. So anyway, Great River Eagle Days is a chance to see the bald eagle in its natural habitat here in Quincy, Illinois. You can go down to Lock and Dam. Also, please come to the Oakley-Lindsay Center. Children 10 and older, so 10 years and an adult up is $5. Over 6, you get a discount of 3. If you're in your Boy Scout or Girl Scout uniform, you get in free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open to the public all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And it's been extended to Saturday night past the normal closing time. And we cannot confirm, but we have heard rumors that there may be the Tim McGraw Faith Hill type of people who might be descending on little old Quincy, Illinois to take part in this. So that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yep, there's one I'd love to say, but I can't yet.
Is Rip coming?
Hmm?
Is Rip coming?
Because
if Rip's coming, I mean,
I'm there. I'll tell you some things in secret.
Okay. Thank you very much. Holly, I said you'd have the last word. Invite everybody in the tri-states to come. And if they can spend the night, all the better. But we've all of our restaurants are open. Everything's full open, so...
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Quincy. We really are honored that so many of the people from other areas knew, you know, to see this for the first time. And so we do invite our area residents to come out to this. Is it our 7th or 8th year?
It is. It should be our 9th year, I think, this year.
And I love how it's really grown from a small banquet hall at the Eagle's Nest Hotel.
It was standing room only.
Only to the full hall of the Oakley-Lindsay Center, mm-hmm. and it's just getting better and better. And educational opportunities for all ages are there. And, you know, my favorite part is really the birds of prey, even though I think I had a buzzard in my hair one year. It's just really a lot to see and hands-on and just so visual.
Yeah.
This event is really for all ages, and, yes, we're excited.
Okay.
What this year's going to bring.
It's going to blow the roof off.
It's going to blow the roof off. If you've gone in your
earplugs,
we're selling earplugs.
Get ready for the expanded version. Great River Eagle Days, January 22nd, 23rd at the Oakley-Lindsay Civic Center. Coming up, we'll talk about a group that wants to help you if you're going through cancer. We'll take a break. We'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Rex Battery brings you this report. We're back at Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Sherry Robusky is here. She is an oncology social worker at Quincy Medical Group. And the Quincy Medical Group Foundation and the Cancer Institute are offering new support groups to help those who have been touched by cancer. This group is going to meet the third Thursday of every month, and the first meeting will be January 20th from 5:30 to 6:30 at Quincy Medical Group Cancer Institute at 33rd and Broadway. So basically in their new building there in the old Quincy Mall. Kind of a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll be going to the old, the new town center, the old Quincy Mall. So get right on top of that microphone, Sherry, when you talk. Cancer support. I'm a cancer survivor. I know you could tell by looking at me. It's so interesting. I had cancer when I was a very young woman. I've been cancer-free now for well over 40 years. And my mother passed away from cancer. My father died of cancer. It seems like, you know, cancer is this kind of all ever-present kind of thing in our lives. Before COVID, that's what we all talked about was cancer.
Yes.
But, you know, just because COVID came along, cancer didn't take a holiday. So why is it important to have a support group, and who comes to these support groups?
Well, I think from the moment somebody hears the words, you have cancer,
mm-hmm.
life has just changed. It can become overwhelming trying to make treatment decisions, getting appointments made. There's a flood of emotions, fears, worries. And so coming together as those, anyone who's been touched by cancer, that's important so that you feel supported. You can hear how it's helped, how people have gotten help from different types of programs, and just make connections with others who have made it through that process.
The problem with cancer is people hear cancer and they say death.
Yes.
And not all cancers lead to death.
No.
Many people survive cancer. If it can be cut out of your body, you're one of the lucky ones, I guess, that has a kind of cancer like mine that could be cut out or extricated. And you can go on and live a full and happy and successful life. Some cancers are a little bit harder, and we've got new radiation. I was just watching television the other day. They've got this stuff now that they put in your veins, but instead of just being like a complete liquid, it's more like a gel. Mm-hmm. And so it stays around longer and kind of treats you for a longer period of time than just an infusion. And so they're always coming up with new treatments. And so when we hear the diagnosis cancer, the first thing we need to do is to be supportive of our loved ones that get that diagnosis, that it's not necessarily a death sentence.
Absolutely. And, you know, to be supportive of your loved ones, to take a deep breath and try to remember, too, that things are going very slowly for you since you've been diagnosed. But we're trying to move you as quickly as possible to actually getting treatment. But we want to make sure you're getting the right treatment and the best treatment for you. So surrounding yourself with others who've been through that process can be very helpful. And this support group is for anyone diagnosed with cancer, a cancer survivor of, you know, a year, 5 years, 10 years, and any caregivers of those touched by cancer.
Because it can be a long haul process.
Yeah.
You can have almost a full and complete recovery, but it might take 2 or 3 years. And you might be, during that time, not your perky best. You also have to make some decisions based on your age and other factors. And everybody has a personal decision to make. Do I want to fight this tooth and toenail? Say my best friend, when she was diagnosed with her cancer, she and her daughter was in fifth grade. She said, bring it on. I want everything you can possibly do.
Yes.
I know my prognosis is not good, but I want to try everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. Flash forward. My mother has the same lung cancer. And my mother at more advanced age said, I'll take a pill, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, mm-hmm. go through all of that rigmarole. And I think that's one thing that's really changed. Our doctors, the people that are our medical professionals, the nurses, the doctors, the care team like you, the social workers, have said you can make decisions based on what's your quality of life or your length of life that you want.
Yes, and I think it's really important that you're able to talk that through that with your oncologist, the radiation oncologist, if you're referred to them, the social worker, the dietitian, everyone who's involved, nurse navigators, your family, and then be able to reflect and make that best decision for yourself.
One of the key decisions is, of course, most people are diagnosed at kind of a local level here at Quincy Medical Group, Blessing Physician Services, Hannibal Hospital, Jacksonville, whatever. And one of the things that they always have to then say is, oh, should I go to MD Anderson? Should I go to Mayo? Should I be rushing off to, Baltimore, to the big center out there? And sometimes that's appropriate.
And it's okay.
And sometimes, no, the very care you need is right here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really hard for the average person to know, though. And is that part of kind of the educational process that this cancer support group will put in, when you need to extend your boundaries and when you need to say, I'm more comfortable getting treatment here and this treatment is adequate here?
I think the support group is going to meet all kinds of needs. So, you know, if you have questions about, do I go outside of Quincy to get a second opinion, or Hannibal, wherever that was, maybe somebody in the group will have gone to Barnes or Texas or somewhere else mm-hmm. to receive that second opinion, and you'll get that perspective. And so you may also get a different perspective that, you know, this worked great for me here. and I didn't go anywhere else. And
I was here with my family and my comfort group.
Yeah.
I'm kind of smiling, and she's like, why is she smiling about a cancer diagnosis? But I went and got three opinions.
Uh-huh.
The problem with three opinions is they were three different opinions.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Then what do you do?
Really what it came down to, I mean, I'm being honest, what it came down to was looking in the eyes of my doctor that had been, you know, been my doctor, and him saying, I support whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do, I'm with you all the way.
Yes.
But I'm standing by. This is best right here, right now. Let's do it. And, you know, it's funny because you get three different opinions.
Yes, you
and
very well could.
Two of them you don't know from Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, well, okay, you graduated from medical school too. And I think that's the other thing that's kind of frustrating. You're in the medical profession. We're not. You can have people say vastly different things
yeah.
about the same, looking at the same x-ray or looking at the same blood work.
Yeah.
And that can be, that's where the support group can really come in, is how
absolutely.
Do you, how do you navigate all of that and get to what you need best for you?
Yes. And outside of even the diagnosis, you may hear, oh, use this or use that to help with the skin rash. And just getting different perspectives, I think that's the best thing. And then you have to look at it for yourself and say, this is what's best for me. And I think it also goes down to your comfort level and who you feel the most trust with, like you said, with your yeah. doctor.
Well, you know, and I was so young, and, you know, basically I was told by all three. Well, one said, you need immediate surgery. One said, it grows really slow. I mean, you don't even have to do anything about it if you don't want to. Okay. And the third one said, well, I'd do something, but I would do this, which was different than what the doctor said. I want to do something, and this is what we're doing. But, you know, it is, because not a day goes by that I don't think anybody out there listening to WTAD, there's not a single person today listening that in the last 365 days hasn't had somebody they know. I don't care if it's just somebody you know at church or your neighbor or maybe somebody extremely close to you or somebody just that, you know, you pass in the mall on your mall walking or you meet in the meat market
yeah.
that has cancer. And that can mean such a variety of so many different things. And that word cancer, like I said, it no longer means death, but it can mean a long-haul treatment or
yes.
protocol. And so the support group is there to kind of buoy us up. Because
mm-hmm.
I just got back from my second bout of COVID. And I got to tell you, you know, after you've been vaccinated and after you've done everything you think you can and after you've pretty much been careful and you think you're going along okay, and you get the damn thing anyway
yes.
for the second time,
uh-huh.
you kind of, you're like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, ugh. And it does. It drains you.
It does. And, you know, I feel honored to be the Cancer Institute social worker because I have been touched by cancer. One of my best friends had cancer. My aunt had cancer. One of my daughter's best friend's little brother had cancer.
Yeah.
And it does, it touches you, and it's an honor to try to hold that space with them, whatever that is, in my role now.
And part of that is keeping up hope.
Absolutely. Keeping up hope and the attitude that, you know, it's going to be what it is, and I've got this. I can make it through this.
Right.
And so with this group, I think people will get that hope from others, be inspired, and hopefully learn. And the biggest thing I hope is that we have fun. I don't want it to be Debbie Downer.
Share some tips, yeah. Be an up-group thing. It's the third Thursday of every month. It's January 20th is the first meeting from 5:30 to 6:30. It's at QMG Cancer Institute there at 33rd and Broadway inside the Quincy Town Center. So just show up. If you're a survivor and you want to come and lend your support, do that. If you're a caregiver and you're like, give me some tips for when the radiation days are really bad or, you know, anything you need, this group can be there. Sherry Robeski is going to be leading it, oncology social worker, and really it's going to be whatever the group decides is what they need is basically what's going to be happening. So make it your own. January 20th, 5:30 to 6:30, Quincy Medical Group. If you need more information, call 217-277-4070. That's 277-4070. Sherry, thank you for the work you do. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary.
Have a great weekend, folks. We'll be back again on Monday.